Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer. Access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
This week's question from our listener says, 20 years ago, it seemed that holiness was all about the outward adornment, what we wore, what we didn't wear, where we went, where we didn't go. What does holiness before God look like today when it is lived out?
You can't determine if a person is holy just by what they are wearing, but you can tell a person that's holy by their conduct. They're holy because they are following the laws of God. They're holy because they are obedient to what God has said. Being holy means that you are separated and consecrated unto God. You are walking according to what God has said. And if you look in Psalms 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're not taking advice from those who are ungodly. You're not following in their ways. The other part says, nor are you standing in the way of sinners. Your conduct is not one that will cause a sinner to stumble or fall, but it will be one that a sinner can look at and say, whatever she has or whatever he has, that's what I want.
Thank you for your question.
The sound that you just heard is the shofar. And usually the Jewish nation would blow the shofar when there is the enemy was at hand or it was a call to worship. Today we're going to be talking about standing in righteousness. It is a call for the body of Christ, those who are called by the name of the Lord, to stand for righteousness' sake.
In 2 Samuel chapter 12, the Bible reads like this, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, and the poor man had nothing save one little lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. For thou did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all of Israel, and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Mm-hmm. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die.
You notice that Nathan was a court prophet and a counselor that God assigned to David and his son Solomon. Wouldn't it be really good that if we had leaders that really had the counselors and advisors that they can speak to that individual about their behavior and keeping them right with God? Now, the Lord has sent Nathan to confront King David about his sinful behavior. God is not one that's going to put you on front street like that, but he comes to you privately and begin to talk to you about the situation, about the sin. And then you have a choice. You can either stay in it, or like David, you can ask him for forgiveness.
You know, I love this story because, first of all, you have to remember that this is the same King David that God testified that David is a man after my own heart. And if you look at the life of David, he displeased God in what he did in this chapter 12, but God still called him a man after his own heart. So I like to look at it and see, how could a man that did this thing be a man after God's own heart? And the truth is, it's not what you do necessarily that will determine what God testifies about you, but it is really, the Bible says that the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. God can see and know very clearly and precisely what is in your heart. So even though he committed this sin, God knew that his heart was still with God. And so immediately when it was revealed to him that thou art the man, he began to repent before the Lord and be sorry for what he had done. He still had to suffer the judgment that Nathan had been sent by God to proclaim against him. Those things that Nathan said through the Spirit of God what happened did happen in David's life. He still had a consequence for his sin, but God had washed his heart. You remember in Psalms 51 where he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me, because the one that I have today is going to drag my soul to hell. That's really what he's saying. Most of us, if we're honest, we can see ourselves in some portion of this text. When Nathan tells David the story of the rich man and the poor man, and how the rich man had all of these lambs, but yet when he needed a lamb for his visitor, he went and took the poor man's one little lamb that he loved like his daughter, and he took that lamb and dressed it for the wayfaring traveler. Instead of taking one of his thousands or one of his hundreds, you still got to take from those that do not have. And David was angry, and he said, you know what? He needs to pay the consequences for his sin. And when Nathan says, thou art the man, then he wanted mercy, and then he wanted grace. And that's how we are today. When it's someone else that has done the evil and the wrong, we want the condemnation and the judgment of God upon their head, the wrath of God, the lightning of God to fall upon their head. But when it is us that's standing in the need of prayer, we want the mercy and the floodgates of grace upon us from the Lord our God. How come we cannot extend that same compassion and loving kindness unto others that we would want God to extend unto us?
Nathan's name means God has given, meaning that God had given a counselor, a prophet to the king to speak truth into his life. So God had given Nathan the responsibility in pointing out to David that he had done wrong. He took a wife that wasn't his. And not only that, but he tried to cover it up. He took a man that was the husband of this woman, Bathsheba, and put him on the front line to kill him so that he could have free reign with this woman. But he sent the prophet Nathan to tell David that you have done wrong. How many times, even in the day that we're living in, and we see so much that's going on in the church, we see so much that's going on in the world, but yet God will send someone to tell you, you have done wrong. When he sends someone to rebuke a church leader or a Christian or someone that has been doing wrong and saying that you need to be accountable, you need to stand in integrity, and even speaking and said, you need to repent of the thing that you have done. If God calls you to go and speak a word to an individual, would you be ready to go? Would you go?
In verse 8, it really is amazing because the Lord speaks through Nathan the prophet and tells David even further. He said, I have given you everything. I gave you your master's house. I gave you your master's wives. I gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that wasn't enough, I would have gave you anything else you wanted. Everything you needed, my hand has always provided. Even what you wanted, I have given to you. And if you wanted more, I am the source of your life. I would have given it to you, but you don't have to go to another man's possession to take from him the little that he has when I have given you plenty. I mean, what a harsh word of judgment. And how many of us could stand in the stead of God and speak that truth to one that we see has authority and power in the natural over us? But Nathan, he was really taking a risk of his own life in the natural, but we know that supernaturally God had him covered. David was a man after God's own heart, but the truth is Nathan didn't know that. When Nathan went, he went risking everything, even as Esther went before the king. She didn't know if the king was going to receive her. You had to be summoned to come into the presence of the king. But even as Mordecai told her, listen, don't think that if we perish, you're going to be spared. So she had to say, make up in her mind that if I perish, I perish. But this is what I need to do. How many of us are willing to say, this is what the Lord has called me to do. And even if it's not received, and even if it costs me harm, I'm willing to do what the Lord has called me to do.
It's just like with the three Hebrew boys. You had Hananiah, Mishael, and Azra. And you know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And how they defied King Nebuchadnezzar of his Babylonian edict, where he said, when you hear the music, then it's time to bow. How many of you would have done just like these three guys would have stood and said, I'm only going to worship God alone. I am standing for righteousness.
God requires holiness from all of us. It doesn't matter what position you feel. It doesn't matter what office you sit in. It doesn't matter who you are. We are the only ones that admire worldly positions and stature over the things of God. We are the only ones that get caught up in a man's status and in a woman's status. We're the only ones who thinks that because someone holds such a high position that they are exempt from doing certain things that God requires of others. But let me assure you that from the Pope to the King to the Queen to the President, every Supreme Court justices, every governor, every mayor, every pastor, every prophet, every preacher, every singer, every musician, every saint of the living God, holiness is required of us. It's what God requires of us, and it's what we ought to long for. It's what we ought to thirst for. It's what God wants for us. And it's not just holiness, but it's righteousness. Righteousness is what we should long for. Righteousness is what we need. Take my heart, dear God, and mold me. Take my mind and transform me. Take my will and conform me to your word, to your will, to your way, to your holiness. Holiness is what I need.
Holiness, holiness, it's what I long for. Holiness, what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want for me, for me.
Says what I long for is holiness. We have to stand for the righteousness of God. And even when I read in the Bible in Matthew 10, and it talks about what should be our response when we're confronted with an evil, what should be our response when we are confronted with a law or a situation that goes against God's word. Don't be careful when you stand before men. He says, don't even try to think about what you're going to say before you go in. He says, but when they deliver you over, do not be anxious at how you will speak or what you are to say. He said, do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. And basically, there are times when we're going to have to stand, when we are in conflict, when man's laws are in conflict with God's laws, there is a time that we're going to have to stand in righteousness, meaning that we're standing according to what God says about the situation. We know that when we stand for righteousness, that God is going to stand for us. Paul had given Timothy a word, and he was giving him instructions, and he told him this. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables.
In the Amplified, verse 2 says, herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency, stand by and be at hand and ready, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You, as a preacher of the word, are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching, for the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold. You know, this is so true, and I love it because the Bible tells us to preach the word, and as simple as that sounds, that is where a lot of the error comes in. We will preach the doctrine of our denomination. We will preach the tradition of our forefathers. We will preach the rules of our church, but we need to preach the word of God. What does the Lord say? You, as a saint of God, are preaching a gospel every day. We are epistles written and read of men. When they see you walking and talking, you're preaching a gospel. I don't know what gospel you're preaching, but your life is proclaiming a gospel. May it be the good news of Jesus Christ. May the life you live before others be that proclamation that Jesus is alive. May your life exemplify the holiness of God in the church of the living God. I need to come in here and hear that holiness is still required because we serve a holy God. When I come into the household of faith, I need to know that there is power at the altar to deliver, to make free. When the depressed come in, they should see hope in Christ Jesus. When the lost come in, they should know there is salvation in God. I mean, we spend so much time preaching and teaching about everything else. How about we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ?
For it is the gospel that will set men free. How will you stand? Will you stand preaching the word of God? Will your lifestyle preach the word of God? Your lifestyle is a living epistle that people can read and can tell that, yes, this person had been with Jesus. Preach the word, because the word is a deliverer, and someone need to see someone standing for righteousness.
A lot of times we are afraid of those to whom the Lord has sent us. We look upon their faces, and when they frown and when they give us a visual cue that they are not receptive of what we are saying, then we're likely to change the message or withhold our words because we don't want to be in ill favor with anyone. We're not trying to make them angry with us, so we will change or soften the gospel. God has never called you to change his word. He has said what he meant and meant what he said. And only thing you need to do, as Paul told Timothy, is preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be instant, in season and out of season. Preach it when they like it and even when they don't. Preach it when it's acceptable and even when it's not. Preach it when it's popular and even when it's not. Sometimes we fear that if we speak it, then God will not bring it to pass. Or if we speak it, what if he doesn't do it and we will look foolish? But none of them that put their trust and hope in God will ever be ashamed. God has given you the ability to stand before great men and women and the capacity in which he has called you, and you stand before them and you do everything but proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. But maybe you have been called for such a time as this to go into places where other men and women don't have access and to proclaim the truth of our God, not to compromise the gospel, not to water it down. The question is, will you stand for righteousness?
In 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says, "For the time will come," and I believe that we are in that day now,
"but let God be true and every man a liar."
It is time for us to stand up and say, what does the Lord say?
I know that today the message of holiness is not a popular message. It's not one that is heard. It sounds old-fashioned. It sounds outdated. It sounds like it needs to be progressed up to current day standards. The truth of God is absolute. What he said, he meant, and it still is true today. Holiness without which no man shall see God in peace. You're going to see him, but it won't be in peace. I want to see the Lord. Oh, I want to see him, to look upon his face. I want to see him in blessed peace and in righteousness and holiness. I mean, you know, we think that, oh, I can just do this for a little while, but it can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? You can't play around with fire and expect not to be burned. You don't know what day or hour the Lord will come calling for you. And as a tree falls, so shall it lie. You don't want to be found in an unrighteous state. You don't want to be found with your work undone. It's time to get back to the righteousness and the holiness of God. Declare the truth of the living God. And so what if some do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the truth of God of none effect? God forbid. This word will always be true. If tomorrow I don't believe it, it won't change the truth of God. If next week your pastor walks away from it, it won't change the truth of God. If everyone of the world walks away from the truth of God, he said, let God
God be true and every man be a lie. God will stand true and every man will stand a lie if we oppose the truth of the living God.
So it comes down to this. Whose side are you standing on? Are you going to stand on God's side? Are you going to stand for righteousness and holiness? Or are you going to forsake it? Are you going to go and live life the way you want to live it? Are you going to go and live life the way the law says that you should? Or the way the judge says that you should? Or you can? Or are you going to do it like God says? That Paul says that all things are lawful for me to do. He said, but all things are not expedient for me to do it. It might be lawful. Will you stand for righteousness? I mean, we have allowed ourselves to be pushed in a corner and we're only preaching this gospel in the four walls of the church while the world is saying you can have church, you can worship in the four walls, but don't bring that stuff on the outside. Don't bring it in the marketplace. Don't govern your business by the core values of the gospel. He said, because when you do, that's when we're going to have a problem, because it's man's laws that will prevail. Will you stand up for the laws of God? Will you stand up for righteousness? It's just like you said, Twyla, that you know you have to make a decision on what you're going to do, because God's word is truth and it never changed. He spoke it from the beginning of time. He spoke the word, and if you trace it all the way down, it never fails. It never yields to anything else. It never backs up. It's always persistent and it's always true. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is going to stand for righteousness? State. And when you are questioned about what you believe, what will you say?
What will you say? I am on the Lord's side and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. It is what God wants from me and for me. Righteousness is what I long for. I don't care if it seems outdated. I don't care if it seems old-fashioned. It's not about what you wear on the outward appearance. It's about the condition of a man's heart. I am unapologetically and unashamedly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. For when I was on the edge of destruction, teetering on the edge of despair, there was no one else that came to rescue my dying soul but the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road, He came and rescued me and poured in the oil and the wine, the kind that restores my soul. And He took me to the innkeeper and said, take care of her, and I will repay whatever is owed when I return. God has shepherded my soul, and God has led me beside the still waters, and God has been my shepherd, and I owe Him my everything. Holiness is what I long for. Righteousness is what I need. Dear God, we thank You. Dear God, we praise You. There is no God like Jehovah, no king like our God. You are holy and righteous and altogether lovely. May we see You as You are, high and lifted up and worthy to be praised. May Your train fill our temples with the glory of the living God. May the awesomeness of Your presence be in us and around us. May we taste and see the goodness of God. May we know, God, there is nothing like the holiness of God. And may we long for the holiness of God. May we long for the righteousness of God. As the deer pants for the water, may our souls thirst and long for You, dear God. May You, dear God, fill us with Your Holy Spirit. May You baptize us afresh. Forgive us for going after our own way. And would You wash us? Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Would You sanctify me and use me for Your glory? Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. We give Your name the glory, all of the honor, and all of the praise to the only wise God, our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
We thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.
I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more.